All we want is you, Lord Jesus. We want you for ourselves, and we want you for our families. We want all our families to know you the way we know you. And Lord, it's on our hearts to pray for our families. And so teach us through this lesson how to pray effectively for our families, our dearly beloveds. Thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Welcome to ABC Healing School, Semester 3. And the teaching tonight is entitled Spiritual Warfare for Your Family. Now, there are 3 different series that we take through semesters 1, 2, and 3. And one of them is on forgiveness. One of them is on communion. And the third one is on praying for your family, spiritual warfare for your family. And so this is a more mature teaching. As we progress through healing school, each semester the prayers get more mature, more effective, more powerful. And that's what we're looking for, because our families are near and dear to our hearts, and there's nothing more that we'd like for them than for them to know Jesus and to live for him, to make Jesus their Savior and their Lord. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. The foundation for the teaching today is the three witness prayer. Now, you had to wait till you got to semester 3, because this is a very powerful prayer. And so the three witness that you have already learned this semester is a foundation for the prayers that we're going to look at tonight. Of course, there are the foundational prayers. You can't build a house without a foundation. You need those foundational prayers all the time. Even when we add something more mature to it, we need to keep that solid foundation. Remembering, of course, to confess your sins before you get started. And there are certain prayers that we want to pray for ourselves and our families every day. But before I review those, I want to share 2 testimonies with you. You know, I think this really shows how much God loves us and how much he meets us where we are. Many of you may have heard of Jeff and Renee Fenholt. And Renee was a very baby Christian when she married Jeff. Technically, according to the Word of God, she should not have married him because it was an unequal yoking. But she didn't know that. He was handsome and he was popular, and he loved her and he wanted to marry her. So she married him. But he came with a lot of demons, a lot of addictions, a lot of drugs and alcohol and wild, crazy lifestyle. And bless her heart, she was just this sweet, innocent little baby Christian that just loved Jesus, but didn't know quite how to handle the situation. So one night before he was saved, they were in bed together, and I guess he had fallen asleep. But the demons were after her, and they literally lifted her physically off the bed and were pushing her up, 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 up toward the ceiling. Physically, she was rising in the air until they were like trying to push her through the ceiling. And she had her head up to the ceiling about like this, and they were still trying to push harder and harder. And she was trying to cry for help, and nothing would come out. And she forced it, and she pushed and pushed, and finally a tiny little whisper, Jesus. And boom, she was immediately back down on the bed. just that tiny little whisper of the name of Jesus carried enough power to counteract the demonic activity that was coming against her. And so, even in her innocence, she called upon the name of Jesus, and he was right there. The scripture says, whoever calls on the name of Jesus shall be saved. And she was saved from that horrific situation. But she prayed the best that she knew how for her husband, and the Lord worked out an amazing situation for him to get saved. Now, as rich as he was at this time, he had this big mansion and he wanted it painted. He wanted to have the cheapest bid. Well, it just so happened God worked it out that the cheapest bid were a group of Christians were actually ex-mafia. They were very powerful, born-again, spirit-filled Christians. And they were able to minister to him, and he was instantly saved and delivered from all of his addictions through these painters. What a glorious testimony that was. So her heart was in it for her husband to know Jesus. And Jesus responded. So again, let's remember to confess our sins before we get started. And then once or twice daily for yourself and for your family members, you want to pray these prayers. You pray them aloud, remember, and personalize them. That is, you place the family names where the prayer uses the word you. Always address your prayers to your Heavenly Father in the name of Jesus. And we want to be sure to include Psalms 23 and 91, which are powerful protection prayers. The prayers in Ephesians 1, verses 17 through 23, and again in Ephesians 3, verses 14 through 21, are extremely powerful, both for yourself and for your family. So be sure to put in your name together with your family's names as you pray these prayers aloud. Now you want to pray these often using multiple affirmations, perhaps 10 to 50 per day, of the following two scriptures. Acts 16:31, I have called upon the name of the Lord, and so in the name of Jesus, I and my household have been saved. And your household can be your spouse, it can be your parents, your grandparents, your children. It's those of the household of which you call your name and you're a part of. And so you want to say that. That's a powerful scripture, a wonderful promise of God. Luke 10:2. In the name of Jesus, God is sending laborers of the harvest to minister the gospel to my family. Hallelujah. So sometimes we can't really get through to our family. Even Jesus had that problem. They said, oh, he's just the carpenter's son. But there are people they will listen to. And that's what we're praying here in Luke 10:2. There are people that are born again that can witness to your family, that can share powerful truths from the Word of God with your family members. And so that's what we want to pray for, the divine appointments of your family members with these people that will witness to them, people to whom they will listen. An important note here, when you pray Luke 10:2, remember the first time is as a request to God once before you start the daily prayers of affirmations. The prayer of faith. Remember the prayer of faith, everybody? How could we forget the prayer of faith? That's something we pray one time, and after that, from the amen, we believe that we've already received it, right? Right, everybody? Yeah. And so, if we've already received it, then we just thank God. And that's what affirmations are all about, just thanking him with the word of God, thanking him for that which we have already prayed and believed. And here in Luke 10 is one of those wonderful examples of a prayer of faith. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. So we issue the prayer out. We have the faith. God hears our prayer and goes to work. Glory to God. Now we come to part B, warfare prayers. Here we would really like to pray in tongues for a while before we pray these prayers. We want to build up that anointing. We want to build up that strength inside us. We want the Holy Spirit to pray through us for ourselves and for our families. So remember to take some time to pray in tongues before you get into these prayers. Now, these warfare scriptures, we start with Matthew 18:18. A lot of these scriptures will be familiar, but I want you to think of them in terms of the context of how we are applying them. Matthew 18:18, verily I say unto you, this is Jesus speaking, remember, whatsoever you shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever you shall loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Binding and loosing prayers. Notice where it starts. It starts with you here on earth. So whatever you bind, whatever you loose, you're setting it up for that to happen in heaven and for God to bring it to pass here for us. Very powerful. Mark 16:17, and these signs shall follow them that believe. Okay, believers. Hi, everybody. We're all believers, right? We're all believing in and we be living in Jesus. Hallelujah. He said, in my name shall they cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. Very powerful. We cast out devils and speak in new tongues. Notice how those are two very important responsibilities and privileges that God gave us. So, let me stop here and share a testimony. Pastor Joshua and I, some years ago, met these two pastors, a husband and wife, and they were like the first stop in children's services. When a child was taken from the home for whatever reason, they had to be placed somewhere quickly and temporarily where they could be a few hours or a few days until children's services could establish where they could place them on a longer term basis. And so this couple was one of those first stops that they made. And they had this little girl. She was about 4 or 5 years old, as I recall. And just a sweet thing, but she had several challenges. She had a problem with her leg, she had a problem with her arm, and it was obvious that she had had some brain damage. All of these from abuse in the home was what they were quite sure had happened. And so as we ministered to this couple about the three witness prayer, we gave them the opportunity to pray this over the little girl. Now understand, when you pray for children and you have the authority, as long as that little girl was in their home, they were the mantle of authority over her. And so they had the right to pray this prayer over her. And when they applied that three witness prayer, she got up off the pastor's lap and went running around and just playing. The arm was healed, the leg was healed, her head injury was totally healed. It was an instantaneous miracle, a marvelous thing to behold, and such a joy. They were just so thrilled to see this little child healed. So keep that in mind if you have a child to pray for. John 7:37-38. In the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. And we know that through our praying in tongues, this is a release of the anointing of the Holy Spirit praying through us and out through us. Praise God. John 7, verse 39, to continue. But this he spoke of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive. For the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because that Jesus was not yet glorified. This reminds me of a situation where there was a caller, a young lady, but she was a mature adult already. And she went back to live with her parents. And unfortunately, the demons in her went wild. And it was a very distressful, a very difficult situation where there was a lot of strife and just stuff going on because the demons just were rawr! And so the family got together and they prayed these prayers over this family member that had come home. And I'm just so excited to say that this three witness of prayer was effective in casting down and shutting up the devils, demons, and evil spirits. Notice I said casting down and shutting up. Notice I did not say they cast the demons out of her. Not something you want to do in that kind of situation, and I will give more detail on this shortly. Here's one main reason why. Matthew chapter 12, verses 43, 44, and 45. When the unclean spirit is gone out of a man, this is what happens when a demon or devil is cast out of somebody. When the unclean spirit is gone out of the man, he walketh through dry places, seeking rest and finding none. Then he saith, I'll return into my house from whence I came. And when he is come, he findeth it empty, swept, and garnished. Then goeth he and taketh with himself seven other spirits more wicked than himself, and they enter in and dwell there. And the last state of that man is worse than the first. Even so shall it be also unto this wicked generation. So this is what we call the seven worsers. When you cast demons, devils, or evil spirits out of a person, the person has to understand how they got in the first place in order to know how not to let them back in, because they are persistent. And when you cast them out, they will look for a way to come back. They will test them. They will test people. They will say, hey, did you really mean that? Or is it okay if I come back? You know, I was really comfortable there. I'll just make my home there again. But they're not satisfied with just coming back alone. They want to bring some of their friends with them. And they're worse and more wicked than that one. And so in a case of a family member that's being challenged with devils, demons, and evil spirits, you do not emphasize, do not want to cast demons out of them. You want to cast them down, wash them down, shut them up, but don't cast them out. You do not want your family member worse off than your current challenging situation. So now let's go to the cleansing prayer. Let's assume that the family member's name is John. So you want to pray the following prayer aloud. Remember, it always has to be aloud. You notice when Renee Finholt was being challenged, She tried to say something and couldn't. And as long as there was no voice coming out of her, the demons had free rein. But as soon as she even whispered the name of Jesus, they took note. So it has to be out loud. Doesn't have to be shouted from the rooftops. It can be that tiny little whisper, or it can be a normal voice. The point is, it must be spoken out loud so that it can be heard by heaven, hell, and earth. So you pray this aloud several times per day. In the name of Jesus, I forgive John of all his sins, and I cover him with the blood of Jesus. So it's always important to use the name of Jesus. That's our authority. That's our reason to be able to do these things. And you notice the forgiving and the covering. Let's look for key words in each sentence to understand the fullness of what we're doing in praying for our family member. B says that if he is born again, we can say this. In the name of Jesus, I pray that the Spirit of God will fall fresh on him, and I speak the peace of God upon him. And we know that the peace of Jesus Christ is unlike any other peace. It's marvelous. It's wonderful. And that peace can just totally flood their beings from the crown of their heads to the soles of their feet. C, in the name of Jesus, I establish a hedge of protection around John and his home. And I bind every demon, devil, and evil spirit, sometimes we just call them the DDEs, within this hedge of protection. In the name of Jesus, I flood every demon, devil, and evil spirit within this hedge of protection. Notice I didn't say in John. It's from this area of protection around him that we're flooding them with rivers of living water that come through us praying in the Spirit, the rivers flooding out of us, flowing out of our innermost being, and in the name of Jesus, I cast them out of this country into a dry place. Again, we're casting out from around John, not on him, not in him. Okay? Very important that you note that distinction. Now in D, in the name of Jesus, I establish the kingdom of God within this hedge of protection. In the name of Jesus, I pray that rivers of living water flow out of me and flood this kingdom of God and cover John. Again, we're covering him in this anointed area around him with the anointing and protection of God. E. In the name of Jesus, I bind every demon, devil, and evil spirit in John's body and flood them with rivers of living water flowing out of me. In the name of Jesus, I wash down in John's body all devils, demons, and evil spirits, and I shut up their mouths for a season. Now, it would be nice if we could do this once and for all, never having to do it again, but that's not how it works. Even when Jesus was tempted, it said the devil left him for a season. And so we must understand that our spiritual warfare is an ongoing thing. It will continue, and we must stay on top of it. We must stay on the front lines, fighting back, anticipating, and coming against him even before the devil has a chance to do things that he wants to do. If we do this on a regular basis, a daily basis, and we're doing this for a season, then we keep overlapping for a season. Carry the season longer than the time of your prayer, just in case you're praying at 8 a.m. today, but maybe you don't get to pray until 8:30 or 9 tomorrow morning. So you want to cover yourself with a season that covers at least, I would say normally 48 hours. And then you pray it every day, but you pray it for 48 hours. And you see, that way you don't leave a gap for the enemy to sneak in. Okay, now, note we are washing down and shutting up. Again, another note, very important. Do not wash them out, nor cast them out of his body. Where John's body is concerned, we just want them to shut up, to be paralyzed, to have no ability to speak, nor act, nor influence John in any way, shape, or form whatsoever. That is our goal. And so we take control in the name of Jesus over the devils, demons, and evil spirits. But until John is trained, we don't mess with those guys except to put them down. Now, F, if John is born again and with his permission, we want to talk to him about it. Because if he's born again, you're born again, you can talk to him and say, hey, you know, I've been praying these prayers for you, John. And there's a prayer I'd really like your permission to be able to pray for you. And here's how it goes. And would this be all right? So here's the prayer. In the name of Jesus, I pray that the rivers of living water, the anointing of God, continues to flow out of me and wash all the effects of evil out of John's heart, soul, mind, brain, memories, tongue, and body. Okay, we're being very comprehensive here. And chances are John will go, whoa, that sounds pretty good. Yeah. Please do. I would appreciate those prayers. Now, this thing of the effects of evil, very interesting, because there was an ABC couple that came to us with their teenage daughter one time. And she had been having these horrible nightmares, just night after night, and was just so distraught and so very tired because she wasn't sleeping. This wasn't peaceful at all. And they wanted to bring these nightmares to an end. So they brought her to us, Pastor Joshua and me, and we prayed the three witness prayer over her. Not only was she delivered of the effects of the evil of the nightmares on her for that night, but for every night thereafter. The nightmares never returned. Woo! Thank you, Jesus. They were so excited. I got to tell you, that had been so traumatic. And for this one prayer, simple and yet powerful prayer, that totally changed her life and, of course, the parents too, they were so grateful and so excited. And yes, these prayers really do work. Hallelujah. So, G, in the name of Jesus, I bind Satan from trying to hinder these prayers. And in the name of Jesus, I loose the powers of heaven to execute and enforce these prayers. Remember what we said about binding and loosing? Okay, so we're binding Satan from trying to hinder these prayers, from trying to interfere in any way with them. And in the name of Jesus, again, we loose the powers of heaven to execute and enforce. We're praying the prayers, lifting them up to heaven, and then we're saying, okay, go, bring this prayer to pass. And God is happy to do it through the Holy Spirit, through his angels. It's a team effort. We get it started. We grab hold of God's hand. He grabs hold of us, and he sees to it that it is brought to pass. So there was one time when we were going through cleansing ministries with Pastor Timothy, And there was a gentleman that actually came through this one church. And he had said, I really need some ministry. I need to talk to the pastor. And they said, well, why don't you talk to your own pastor? He said, well, I can't exactly do that. I said, why not? Well, you see, he says, I just kind of keep trying to kill the pastor. So they don't want to have anything to do with me anymore. And they said, so you're looking for a new pastor? Yes, I am. But you tried to kill the last one? Yes, I did. So they knew about this cleansing ministry and made connections here. And so we brought this guy into it, knowing he seriously needed deliverance. And he said he was willing to do it, but we brought him to the first class, and guess what? Fortunately, at this point in time, there weren't a lot of people there just yet. We were there, and just a handful of people. And this guy comes up to Pastor Joshua, I'm going to kill you.
Dear God.
And Joshua was like, oh, yeah? Hey, I got this water here. You want some of the water from my rivers of living water? You know, and he held up a bottle of water, just water. And the guy, his eyes got big, and he started backing off. Was, no, not that. No, please don't. He says, okay, in the name of Jesus, then you are going to go and you are going to sit down and you are going to stay quiet through this entire class. Is that understood? Yes. What was funny was the people that weren't used to this kind of activity, few that they were, kind of fled the room during this encounter. But they came back and more people came and we got through the class and he was peaceful through the whole thing because of the three witness prayer. He especially reacted to the water. He was terrified of the water. So, praise God, that was a good testimony that we knew that we weren't afraid. Pastor Joshua wasn't afraid. It was a threat that I have to tell you wasn't the first time. And you got to remember that when this happens, it's not the person. It's the devils, demons, and evil spirits that are acting up. And we have authority and dominion over them. So we need to forget fear and just execute our authority and dominion over the evil forces. Okay? Now, strong recommendations here. At ABC, we teach people step by step by step. We start with semester one, we build a basic foundation, we go to semester two, we expand it and build on it. Then we go to semester three, and there's still more teaching before we ever get to cleansing and deliverance. Why? Because we must understand what sin is, we must understand what devils, demons, and evil spirits are, who they are, what they do. And we've got to understand how they got into us in the first place. If we understand that, then we learn how to get them out. But once we get them out, then we have to learn how not to let them back in again. I guarantee you, they will try. They are persistent because they've been comfortable with you, for some people, for decades, for a very, very long time. And they really don't want to leave, but they have to when we handle it God's way. So they leave, but they think, I wonder if they really meant that or not. Let's try and come back again. So if a person isn't strong enough to resist the sins that let the devils, demons, and evil spirits, we'll call them the DDEs, in the first place, you don't want to let them back in. Remember about the seven worsers? This is serious business. We never, ever, ever want to cast out until someone is strong and able to resist the temptation of the sins that they are casting out. Very, very important. That's why we have people practice. We have them learn. We have them developing a new lifestyle. And through this, it helps them to gain the strength that they need to be able to resist the evil forces. And so as B says, we teach what DDDs are, how DDEs got into their bodies, and the lifestyle necessary to keep them out. E, so do not, notice that's capitalized, emboldened, and underlined, do not cast out nor wash DDEs out of someone who does not know the basic principles of 3A above, about teaching, practicing, and the new lifestyle, 3A. They have to learn. They have to know. And so don't do it for them. Do not, please. There was a situation where an ABCer was very excited to have learned this prayer of the three witness. And he was excited to share it with his children who lived in another state, who had not been through the healing school. So he shared this prayer with them. And I guess I could say literally all hell broke loose in their house. It was just scary. For them, it was just, they weren't expecting that at all. They thought they'd have control over it, but because they weren't trained in it and they weren't properly prepared, it got out of hand for them. And so do not share this with anybody, family member or otherwise, unless they've been through ABC Healing School 1, 2, and 3. Okay, you don't want to, the scripture says, cast pearls before swine. You don't want to give somebody something they're not ready for. It puts them in a very bad position. It makes them vulnerable to the effects of the enemy, because the enemy is going to say, oh, well, they're mature enough in the things of God to be able to do this, so hey, they're up for us to attack. There's a saying that says, bigger levels, bigger devils. And you don't want to put somebody at a higher level than they are ready for, because they are definitely not ready to fight off the bigger devils. D, casting out DDEs for the first time from a person is actually very easy. There are people who've been exposed to different deliverance ministries, and so they think that casting out demons should be just snap of the finger, just simple, fast, easy, okay, over and done with, and that's all there is to that. But that's not true. There's much more to it than that, because it gets exponentially harder on subsequent cleansings. And why do there need to be subsequent cleansings? Oh, remember the seven worsers? If they didn't resist the temptation to go back to the sin of the demons they cast out, then it's going to be worse and worse. And you can do the math. 1 times 7, 7 times 7 are 49, times 7, times 7, times 7. You can just see how it just multiplies exponentially and becomes an increasingly difficult situation. Not a good thing at all. So, E, if you are going to cast DDEs out of yourself, you must be committed to abstaining from the sins which allowed them into your body in the first place. Treat all others with the same respectful approach. Your family members, your neighbors, your friends, anybody and everybody, starting with yourself. Do yourself a favor. Do it God's way. Protect yourself. from this dangerous situation of biting off more than you can chew. Get ready, step by step, little bite at a time, chew it up well, and then move on. So this has been a very, in some ways, a very heavy-duty teaching. It's powerful in terms of the prayers and the results and the testimonies that you've heard, but there are responsibilities that we must take seriously. And I want you to spend time reading through this, studying it, understanding what it's saying, and how you pray for your families. If all else, just remember the simple rule: do not cast out, do not wash out. Down. Put them down. Put them ineffective. For a season, that's all you need to do. But you want to do that every day. And you think, oh my gosh, every day I got to do this every single day? Let me ask you a question. Do you eat every day? Do you have certain rituals that you do every day? Are your family members important enough to you for you to be able to do this every day? So yes, every day. For their sake and for yours. And to the glory of God. In Jesus' name, amen.